Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate that you listen to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and also leave us some feedback. Rate us. Give us a review. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Our game is as tight as our spandex.
1029 and 750 The Game.
Where the pros play.
About to tweet a photograph of this shirt. This creamsicle colored shirt. Sherbert, some say, but orange, others say. I think orange is so general. So, such a random thing to say. John Wilner, San Jose Mercury News, Bay Area News Group, covers the Pac 12. He's a friend of the show and he joins us now. What's the weather like in the Bay Area today?
85 and sunny.
Yeah, about the same here. That's what we
really?
Got. Yeah. Don't act so surprised. Don't act so surprised. We're having record heat this week.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. Get out there, enjoy it.
Makes us
before it gets back to 65.
Hey, it makes us thirst for a major league team. You got one there?
A couple. Yeah, boy, just that Blazer situation not good.
Oh,
huh?
No, that's bad too. Don't see, now you're trying to bring up bad stuff. I was trying to keep it positive. Yeah, the Blazers, it's disappointing. And I think, like, growing up in the Bay Area, I got used to the Warriors not being good. And then when they would win a playoff series as a kid, it was a big deal. Remember when they upset the Mavericks, I think, one time? They were the 8th seed, and it was a big deal.
Yep.
Now I think people in the Bay Area are spoiled because the Warriors just win and win and win.
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt about that. And Giants won, 3 in 5 years? And
Yep.
So just waiting now for the 49ers to return to the glory of your childhood.
John Wilner with us. You do a great job covering the Pac-12. People should follow you on Twitter, at Wilner Hotline. Help us with this Josh Rosen, Sam Darnold thing at the top of the draft. Which one of those guys, if an NFL GM called you, which one of those guys do you think is going to have the better NFL career?
You know, my lean is Darnold, and a lot of that just has to do with staying healthy, right? I mean, a lot of NFL folks will tell you the best predictor of future injuries is past injuries. Guys who get hurt tend to get hurt, and Darnold does not have a serious injury on his record. Meanwhile, Rosen missed half the season in 2016 with a shoulder. I believe he had two concussion issues this past year. May have only been one, but you know, he didn't play in the bowl game. He's a slender, you know, he's much more slight of build than Darnold is, and he's not as mobile. So you're asking a guy who's been hurt and is not real sturdily built and is not mobile to make it through an NFL career. Maybe he will, but I think that there's a better chance that Darnold will avoid a serious injury than Rosen.
Wilner, the draft always comes around, and look, even over the weekend, LeGarrette Blount was at the Oregon Ducks spring game, and I thought, boy, he's had a better pro career than I thought he would have, and Mariota was there. And when you look at the over the years, the guys that have come out of the Pac-12, have there been surprises like that you have seen and gone, you know, the guy was a nice player, but he had a terrific pro career? Or how spotty is that?
So much of it depends on the team that picks you and whether they make the best use of your particular talent, right? I mean, there have been a lot of guys that have come out of the Pac-12 that haven't necessarily played as well as you would expect. I mean, certainly, you know, look at it. We were just talking about Darnold. Look at the SC quarterbacks, right? Those guys, other than Carson Palmer, the rest of them have not had very good careers. And I think a lot of that's because they had so much talent at SC around them that it was a little bit easier. And then you put them on an NFL team where you've got the talent spread out over the whole league and they didn't play as well. I mean, there's also some cases where those SC wide receivers haven't been nearly as good. So I think a lot of it just has to do with, you know, are you really as good as you look in college, or is it the system and the surrounding personnel? And then when you get to the NFL, how much help are you getting from the coaching and the personnel around you?
I think Justin Herbert's probably going to be one of those guys that has, you know, NFL scouts drilling over him by the time he's done because of his size and his feet. When you look around the Pac-12 with quarterbacks who are coming back, who do you really like?
Well, certainly Herbert to me is top of the list. And that's a, you know, that'll be really interesting to watch this year. Is he going to stay injury free? Because he gets hurt again and then all of a sudden it's two. And then the scouts start to wonder a little bit, is this just a really talented kid who can't stay healthy? So I think his health has got, there's a lot of layers of significance to whether Herbert can stay healthy this coming season. But I think he's tremendous. You know, I'm kind of expecting Jake Browning to have a real good year because I think they're going to have better receivers. You know, 2 years ago, he was a Heisman finalist. He had John Ross and Pettis, and then didn't quite have as much around him and didn't quite have as good a year. But I think the Huskies are going to be are loaded, and he's going to have another terrific season. But it's definitely an odd year. You got a lot of places, especially L.A., where they're complete overhaul of quarterback. I mean, SC's starting quarterback's probably going to be, you know, a kid who's basically a junior modern day right now. So real interesting. I like Costello at Stanford. He's also got a lot of talents around him. And, you know, Khalil Tate will be real interesting to see how much he flourishes under Kevin Sumlin, who's certainly got a very good track record for maximizing his quarterbacks.
What does Mike Leach do at Washington State? Or does Leach just find a guy that can sling it all over the place?
Well, I mean, certainly their system will help. They got a couple of guys competing this spring, but there's a decent chance, I would think, that their starting quarterback is Gardner Minshew, the kid, the transfer from East Carolina. He's at least thrown a few hundred passes in college. None of the six guys they had at their spring game has ever thrown a pass. I mean, it's a tragic situation with the circumstances, but they may end up playing a kid who's not currently on the roster, but is due. I think Minshew's due in school or due on campus sometime in May. So, you know, combine his experience with what Leach has been able to do with inexperienced quarterbacks in the past, and they may be able to make something work.
John Wilner, San Jose Mercury News, Bay Area News Group. Stanford last year, I thought they had a nice season, 9-5, 7-2 in conference. Is Stanford waxing or waning, in your opinion, moving to next season?
Ooh, good question. I'm not quite sure. I think they're going to be very good on offense, and I think they're going to be pretty suspect on defense, which is, you know, not necessarily the Stanford that we've been used to seeing over the last 6 or 8 years. But they got a lot of questions on the defensive line and in the secondary. But they got a lot of players, and they got a very good offensive line and experienced quarterback. So they could end up playing a lot of 45 to 40 games for sure. It's interesting, you know, Oregon, Stanford, Washington, SC, all those teams are loaded on the offensive line, and typically that is a pretty good indicator of who's going to be good. So you overlay the experienced quarterbacks at Washington, Oregon, and Stanford, and you kind of figure all three of those teams out. The North could be a terrific, terrific division race.
In the South, Chip Kelly's going to get a lot of attention in the preseason. They're coming off a 6-7 overall season where they went to the Cactus Bowl. They opened with Cincinnati on September 1st. Is Chip Kelly going to a bowl game?
Oh, boy. You know, I think he might make it 6 wins. Certainly does not going to Oklahoma is not going to help the overall record. But I could see him getting in there. It'll be interesting to see who plays quarterback. If it's Wilton Spate, the Michigan transfer, that will give them certainly some experience at the position. I just don't know if that kid, you know, plays exactly what Chip wants to do. And the other component is, what is Chip going to do, right? I mean, are we going to see Oregon circa 2012? I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, see, that's the thing is, he's always said that he will adapt to his personnel, and I think a lot of college football is doing the stuff that he had sort of pushed along at Oregon in 2010, so I think it's real dangerous for him to come in and just try to do what he did at Oregon, even though he might get better athletes there. I think he's got to take some different steps, and I think it's super important to his legacy. I mean, how big is that to his legacy that he wins there?
Oh, I think it's going to be, yeah. I mean, that's what it's all about, because if he doesn't win there, then the Eagles and the Niners and UCLA start to become a much greater part of that resume than Oregon. Even though I don't know that would be fair because of what he did to college football in general when he was at Oregon, and how he changed the game. But he needs to win, and this is a great setup. UCLA has not won the conference in 20 years, and you think of all the other programs that don't have what UCLA has, have won the title in that span. They haven't won the Rose Bowl. I want to say they haven't actually won the Rose Bowl since the mid-'80s. And they've got a new, huge facility upgrades with the Wasserman Football Center, and they got that hotel right on campus, and it is set up for him to do very well there. Now, I don't know if it's all going to take root in year one or year two, but boy, he is coming into a really good situation when you think about all the players within 2 hours of campus and the improvements they've made on the facility side.
John Wilner coming at us from the Bay Area. All right, I will cut you loose. I appreciate your time. I agree with you on Darnold. I don't like Rosen's injuries and the fact that he moves around a little bit. That doesn't bode well for a long NFL career.
Yeah, I agree. And typically, you know, the teams that are drafted in the top five are there because a lot of them have bad offensive lines, right? And so it's gonna be tough. And certainly Darnold, bigger and more mobile, and also, you know, don't forget, tremendous at throwing on the run. He probably throws on the run better than he throws from the pocket. So I think he's going to be a stud. I think he's not going to be anything like Matt Barkley or Matt Leinart. I think he's going to have a tremendous career.
Wilner, you have a good day in that 85-degree heat down there.
Stay cool.
All right. Well, John Wilner, San Jose Mercury News, friend of the show, good friend of mine. Do you know what animal kills more people than any other animal? I do. I'll tell you next.
It takes a lot of balls to talk like we do.
Supersize my balls.
1029 and 750 The Game.
Where the pros play.
You may have seen Alabama Adriana's tweet last week where she's wearing that really cool Milwaukee Lumber baseball cap. It's got the Bald Face Truth Foundation on the side of it. If you would like one of those ball caps, see, we're debating my creamsicle colored shirt, but we're not debating that ball cap. That's a good looking hat. If you want one of those hats, here's what you do. You go into any of the three Milwaukee Lumber locations. Tell them, hey, I'm here for the BFT Foundation baseball cap. Make a donation to the BFT Foundation of any denomination. They'll give you a hat. That's how you do it, right there at the register. They're limited in availability and quantity, so do not wait to do this. If you are passing by a Milwaukee Lumber store today, you can do that. Alabama Adriana, would you like to describe the Milwaukee Lumber hat?
Sure. It's a fitted hat. It's not a snapback. It's dark charcoal gray, since we're being color specific today. It has a navy green Milwaukee Lumber logo on the front with a burnt amber also undertones to that. There's the Bald Face Truth Foundation logo on the side, which
undertones?
I think is really cool, and it's big so you can see it. Yeah, it's a good looking hat. It's really good quality. Definitely won't like... I don't know. Yeah, it'll hold up, and yeah, it's really cute.
I like it's the 3930 brand for people who are hat geeks. It's a new era hat. I mean, that's a good hat. And you know what else I like about it? It's understated. Like, it isn't like this big gaudy logo on the front. If you want to pick one up in Milwaukee, you can. Milwaukee Lumber has a location in Milwaukee, also in Vancouver, also in Portland on Stark Street. You can find that location by going to milwaukeelumber.com. They are open until 5 o'clock Monday through Friday. And Saturday, they're open 8 a.m. to noon. So get in, take advantage of this. And I want to thank the good people at Milwaukee Lumber because, you know, you all know if you listen to the show that I shop there. It's where I go for my home improvement products, projects because of their service and their quality materials. But they've also got big hearts. You know, this is proof that they've got big hearts and they are reaching out. They reached out and said, what can we do to help the foundation? We want to get involved. And we came up with this idea to give away these hats when people come in and make a donation at Milwaukee Lumber. So I want to give a shout out to them. I know they listen to the show from the locations and the stores. So fist bump to all you guys out there fighting the good fight, helping people with their home improvement projects and helping all those contractors who are trying to make the world a better place. So Milwaukee Lumber, not just doing good business, but investing in kids in our community. John Ryan, Seahawks punter, will be coming up. Top of the hour, he's doing something cool with the Portland Pickles. We're going to talk about the Seahawks' upcoming season with the punter of the team. I teased that I knew what animal killed more humans than any other animal. Do you guys have guesses on that? Like, if I said to you, like you're on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and you're phoning, I'm phoning you as phone my friend, and I'm saying, hey, help me out. What animal kills more humans on the planet than any other animal? Do you have your answer? Adriana, help us out here.
I'm going to say shark.
Shark's an interesting and a popular guess. You actually, though, have a greater chance of being struck by lightning than by getting killed by a shark.
Yeah, I know, but just off the top of my head.
You see that, though. You hear that all the time. On average, in America, every year, about one person is killed by a shark. So, but you hear about it. It's on the news.
Yeah, and most of the time I feel like it's only dismembering, maybe. Like, they take an arm or a foot or something. It's not necessarily death.
Sharks just take a piece. They say, we'll let them live. Why kill the... Don't slaughter the humans. Just shear them. Take an arm from them. Take a chunk of flesh. By the way... shark thing is one of those things that where you can severely diminish your chances of getting killed by a shark. Like, if you, I saw a story where it said in World War II, sharks were one of the main animals that killed soldiers in World War II. American soldiers who were coming over, like rushing the beaches, were killed by sharks because there were a high population of sharks in the oceans there. Now the shark population is like 1% of what it used to be. And by the way, if you're not scuba diving with like fish on your belt, you don't get attacked by a shark. Yeah. What's up?
I have another guess.
Okay.
Can it be an insect?
Sure.
A bee.
Bees are among the top four. Is that yours, Droz?
That was mine because that's my biggest fear is bees. So.
Same. Oh my God, same.
But see, yesterday I had the 12-year-old kid out in the yard and he was doing some yard work for me. And by doing, I mean I was forcing him. And I asked him, like, can you weed this area? He went inside and put a jacket on and zipped it all the way up to his neck and had the sleeves covered. And I said, what are you doing? And he said, I'm afraid to be stung by a bee. And I was like, there's no bees in the weeds right there. Get in there and pull the weeds out. He's like, I don't know. I think I saw something. You guys are afraid of bees? Really? Are you allergic?
No, I'm not allergic, but I don't know what it is. I'm deathly terrified of bees.
We need to get, you know what we need to do? On air, we need to have a bee sting you.
Nope.
I've been stung. It's not like the stinging part that gets me. It's just the fact that bees just scare me.
I've been stung a lot. It doesn't bug me.
I had a deathly fear of them, and then I got stung on the face, so it didn't help anything.
Ooh, that's bad. Yellow jackets are worse than bumblebees or bees for me, like the bee sting.
I'm pretty sure it was a wasp. What's the ones that are like brown and giant?
Yeah, that'd be a wasp or a hornet or
terrible.
Some kind. Bees are on the list. I don't know if they're number one, but they're high on the list. Hippos are also high on the list, ironically, like in Africa. Hippos cause the deaths of a lot of people. But you know the number one animal in the United States of America that kills more humans? And it's not, humans are not eligible. People are tweeting at me, humans. And I'm like, yeah, that's the easy one. Cows. Cows kill an average of 20 people in the United States in a year. And it's mainly like stepping on, you know, goring, kicking. It's accidents, farm accidents. And you know what it is? It's just the sheer prevalence of these large animals. They're everywhere. Cows and steers. Killing a lot of people. And yet people don't look at the cows and go, huh. Venomous snakes. I would have said snakes, but apparently there are fewer snakes and their advances in venom. It's not killing people. So apparently beware of cow. Not dog. Beware of cow. So there it is. Now you know what to be afraid of. Bees are on the list. Hippos are on the list. Cows are on the list. Sharks are not on the list. And you can reduce your chance of getting eaten by a shark by staying out of the ocean. That's one way to do it. All right, coming up, John Ryan. He's the punter for the Seattle Seahawks. He's going to join us. We're going to talk to him, too, because Pete Carroll has opened the door for Colin Kaepernick. He said it's the door's not closed on Kaepernick to the Seahawks. I'm going to ask John Ryan about sort of the social movement in the NFL. Teammates in the NFL, like Michael Bennett, who have been outspoken. Are people calling in now with their animals, or what are they doing?
He hadn't heard you say the final answer, so he was going to try to guess.
Oh, he wanted to guess.
Yeah.
Cows.
He was pretty bewildered by that.
Yeah, I was bewildered as well when I saw that, because I was like, cows kill how many people a year? 20 people a year. I'm going to get an attack cow and keep it in the yard. You know what I mean? Like, people are getting dogs. That's so cliche. You have a dog? Yeah, what do you got out back? I got a cow. Don't mess with my house. Guy'll, you know, he'll step on you. John Ryan is coming up. Seattle Seahawks punter. Make sure you're following the Bald-Faced Truth at John Canzano BFT on Twitter. Leave it right here. Get the BFT. Now comes an update from Droz. What do you got, Droz?
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald-Faced Truth.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald-Faced Truth radio show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald-Faced Truth radio show. Thanks for listening.